Welcome back to Digital PR Explains. Recently, a real-time case study in crisis communications has been playing out at San Diego Pride. And San Diego Pride is one of the largest Pride celebrations in the U.S. Just weeks before this year's parade, staff and volunteers released a public letter, and in it, they called out systemic dysfunction within the organization, and they pointed to a major leadership turnover. Five leadership changes have happened in less than 2 years. The fallout happened fast. Some sponsors and local officials started pulling their support, and the organization has been scrambling to stabilize things ahead of the event, which at the point of this recording, it has passed. It is July right now. The situation, though, it's still evolving. And what makes this case so interesting is that it's not just a behind-the-scenes issue. It's unfolding in public with media coverage and social media conversations actively shaping the story, as things do these days. So what happens when an internal leadership crisis breaks out into the public, and what should organizations focus on? First, when community trust and the success of a major event are on the line. To help me break this down, because I am not an expert in crisis communications, I'm bringing in a true expert today. I'm joined by Gail Falkenthal. She's actually based out of San Diego, too, and is an award-winning PR strategist and president of the Falcon Valley Group. Gail has led high-pressure crisis communications efforts for San Diego, the San Diego District Attorney's Office, the American Red Cross, and many others. And Gail, I'm just so happy to have you here to help us dig into this one. Welcome.
Thank you so much for the invitation.
Yeah, of course. So let's just kick off with the first question that I shared with you. I'm curious to know, like, when an internal leadership issue spills out into the public like this has, what's the first thing a crisis team should do?
Well, the first thing is to recognize that if you have an internal crisis in your organization, your business, thinking that it isn't going to get out in the public is foolhardy, especially now in the digital age. You need to count on this becoming a public conversation. And particularly if you're an organization like San Diego Pride, that's been very visible in the community, who's had an outstanding reputation for years, and really part of the fabric of living here in San Diego, the Pride activities and Pride Month and our particular Pride Parade, which usually takes place the third weekend in July, is a massive event with a lot of participation that's grown exponentially over the years as more and more for-profit companies and sponsors have come on board, and the support of other large entities in the community have also started to get on board. And clearly there is something systemic and difficult going on internally, and it gets spilled out, or maybe you're only hoping it doesn't get out to the general public, the community, but you've got to, as much as possible, ignore the noise. It is truly the old cliche of you've got to put your oxygen mask on first. What's going on? You've got to buckle down and identify what is driving these problems and what's it going to take to fix them, and listen to your internal organization. If you've got staff and volunteers speaking up, it's time to have a serious communication, probably a series of them, and start being humble enough to listen to the feedback, learn, and then move forward.
Well, I'm going to eat some humble pie right now, speaking of. So the parade hasn't happened yet?
No, it is still about 3 weeks away. Yeah, for some reason, in San Diego, it's always been on about that third weekend in July. And I've got to tell you, as somebody who has participated in the parade, disclaimer, I'm not affiliated with the organization. I've never worked for them. But I have worked for organizations who've been participants. And it seems like it's the hottest Saturday of the year every year on that pavement. And it must be some quirk of scheduling years ago when it first got started that it was maybe the only weekend where they could close down the streets in San Diego to do this or something. And it's just persisted to be later in July.
Okay. Wow. So we are still in the thick of it. They're still dealing with some major PR problems, for lack of better words. Well, you mentioned that, you know, you need to focus on, you mentioned the whole oxygen mask metaphor. Can you say more about, I guess, how an organization can start rebuilding that trust with key stakeholders and the sponsors, the community, and how they can do that when they've lost confidence just weeks before such a major event? What's some tactical advice that you have?
This one is very difficult because it is right on top of the event. And not only is the organization dealing with its own internal systemic issues, whatever they may be, they're dealing with a very different climate politically and socially in the United States. And DEI efforts are under attack. Sponsors are pulling away. Corporations who normally were very loyal sponsors of San Diego Pride and the parade, which isn't an inexpensive thing to put on, have pulled away. So they've lost some funding. And it's interesting, frequently it is whatever the crisis that's occurring is the cause of the sponsors pulling away. In this case, the sponsors pulling away because of the climate in this country are making what was probably a barely manageable internal leadership crisis much worse, because everything's worse when the money stops coming in for a nonprofit. The two things they have to be laser focused on right now are the currency for any organization, but particularly a nonprofit. Transparency and trust, they go together. The organization needs to circle the wagons, do what it needs to do to get their organization back on track. Is it going to be painful? It might be, but the sooner they get to those answers and make the tough decisions, the better. Does it mean rethinking the entire leadership? That might. Does it mean scaling back the parade this year to simply make sure that the occasion is commemorated, but not reach for the massive crowds, the massive lineup that they had in the past? Get back to just the basics. And every organization in this case doing a rethinking of what their mission is, so needs to sit down and be very ruthless about categorizing what they do into the musts, the shoulds, and the mays. Now, most nonprofits, especially run by people very passionate about whatever their mission are, don't want to let go of any of these things. But you're going to need a plan A, a plan B, a plan C, and probably a plan D. Plan A is you trim back a little bit of everything, that you keep everything running more or less as is with cutbacks. Plan B is you've got to think about the musts and shoulds, but reconsider whether any of the mays need to go. Plan C is getting pretty close down to the musts with perhaps a few optional items. Plan D is down either to the bare minimum, perhaps a temporary closure. It's going to depend on what you need to do to rebuild. And if that means a temporary pause on things to rethink what you're doing, it's going to be painful, but it's going to be necessary. The trust part is the harder part. You need to be transparent about what you're doing, but the trust will only return after you walk the walk. Talking the talk won't be enough. Your constituents that you've had trusting relationship with before will be willing to give you the benefit of the doubt, but they'll be watching and they want to see your words become action. And that's the critical part.
Yeah, I mean, we briefly talked about this before we started recording. I'm not an expert on crisis communications, but you hear often that it's about controlling the message. And I think from my perspective, you make a really great point because you don't hear about how, the import it's sort of more important to not only like control the message, but also, do as you say. And show that you're sticking to your word and you're not just putting a statement out there and it's, falling flat because people and even your close followers, your closest supporters are going to see right through that.
You used a phrase I'd love to discuss almost in and of itself, controlling the message.
Yeah.
There's this notion that we as public relations professionals, that's what we do. We control the message. No, we don't. We need to form an accurate, honest message and have that accurate, honest conversation with our audiences and our publics. Where the controlling of the message comes in is when disinformation is coloring what's really going on and what we really need to be saying with those people important to us. And it's that crosstalk and noise that becomes the issue of control, especially when things aren't going well. But you need to own up, you need to be honest. Truthfully, I am a proponent of ripping the Band-Aid off, get it out there, and get it over with. We all know that a crisis only gets worse. You sort of, cling to it closely, hope that maybe things don't get out there. And maybe it's dribbling out there little by little, and the 24-hour news cycle becomes the 48 and the week and the month. No, do yourself a favor, get it over with, get it out there, and get down to the business of fixing it. Fixing it, not papering it over, not hoping that the worst of your reality doesn't get out there. Hope is not a strategy for anything.
Ooh, I like that. Hope is not a strategy for anything. So, Gail, how would you approach messaging in this situation specifically? What do you think needs to be said publicly versus handled privately?
First, everybody internally needs to get on the same page. Everybody needs to recognize you're all on the same team. You may have different approaches to getting past this, and you need to have that internal conversation first. Your internal audience is truly by far your most important. They're number one. And if you can't somehow settle on a path forward and a plan, it's going to be picked at, it's going to, be nibbled at from the inside out, and that doesn't serve anyone well. If the true objective is we need to reform this organization, fix its systemic problems, and make sure it moves forward to do what we were intended to do, which is serve the mission, that's no matter how much divergence there is of opinion internally. I have a pretty good feeling that every single person involved agrees the mission remains the central focus and the most important. What's it going to take to get us there? Once that happens, sometimes hard choices need to be made. Again, the sooner you make them, the better. I have been through this. Many years ago, our local chapter of the American Red Cross suffered a fairly significant scandal centering around the criminal activity of the longtime 30-year plus CEO, who, before she was formally fired, had a disastrous interview on 60 Minutes. This was before I was brought in. She pretty much slammed the door on any trust in the community. The board members had shirked their responsibility of oversight. They were a rubber stamp. The national organization came in, removed the CEO, fired the entire board of directors, fired most of the senior staff, brought in an interim CEO, and put three community leaders who volunteered to be a sort of a multi-headed leadership team, serving somewhat as senior management and the board. And they were very smart to pick the people they did who had enormous trust and respect in the community, who were willing to put their own reputations on the line. And then the difficult discussions were had about what do we need to do? What organizational reforms need to happen? What divisions, what initiatives aren't serving us? What's at the heart of what we need to do? And we did, in fact, have that plan A, C, B, C, and D. D was the plan where two paid staff members were left and everyone else was let go from an organization that once had 200 paid staff and thousands of volunteers. Two people. Happily, we didn't get there. But the discussion with the community, the transparency, the dialogue had to change. And everything that was done was openly discussed with the community. Input was sought, help was sought. We asked the community to help us get back on our feet. It was a very difficult year. And we finally felt that at least we were solvent. A permanent new CEO had been hired. And just as that was happening, San Diego County was hit with the biggest wildfire it had faced in decades. And in the end, 250,000 people were evacuated. Think about the fires recently in Los Angeles, the Palisades and Alton fires. It was very, very similar. And our organization said, we have no idea whether we'll get a single dollar donated to this relief effort, but it has to be done. And we have to move forward no matter what it takes and worry about that later. We had the volunteers, thankfully, and finally the leadership structure to go forward. And the community said to us, listen, you've really, behaved badly, but we see that you're trying to make reform efforts. And we understand that this work's got to be done. So they told us, we will support your efforts, but we want full transparency about how you're using these dollars, where you're applying your efforts. So although for the organization, it was not at all a requirement, legally or realistically, we felt morally and emotionally that we needed to be incredibly transparent about how our funds were being used. So the budget reporting was extensive, was difficult. We honored every request for dollars to go only toward the relief effort and to assisting the people who were the victims of that wildfire. And thankfully, watching us work, eventually close to $9 million was raised in a local community for us in that region, a massive amount of money. What it did end up happening is they did not want overhead covered with that money. They did not want the professional staff paid with that money. Administration in a nonprofit, people do deserve to be paid and they deserve a living wage. But it's understandable that they want to see their money go, hitting the ground. So 6 months after Herculean effort that was wildly successful, half the staff was laid off. But the organization has resurrected, moved forward. That's now, gosh, almost 20 years ago. And it completely healed itself, but it was a very rough illness. I hope that San Diego Pride doesn't have to upend itself quite as much, but they do need to be very realistic that they can't just patch things here or remove a certain, group of complaining employees there. They really need to, to use a cliche, they almost need to burn it to the ground and rebuild and start over. And start over clean, learn from their mistakes, and they will be better for it. It will be painful, but they can do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I mean, what you communicated too about recommitting to the values is what stood out to me personally through that story that you shared. So thank you for sharing some personal experience.
It's so easy for us to get involved in our squabbles, and sometimes they start small, right, with those complaints. But if those aren't listened to, if they aren't taken seriously, especially in an organization like this, which I imagine is also very much volunteer-led, volunteer-driven along with the staff, that's your first most important audience. They are crucial to your operation. That's true for-profit businesses, too. Your employees are, again, to speak a cliche, your greatest asset. You don't function without them. That's who interacts with your audience. Those are the people that your community knows. You've got to get your relationships right and listen to the feedback. And the best of public relations, and particularly crisis PR, involves a lot of listening. People will tell you what they're thinking. People will sometimes not have all the information to give you the right feedback. They observe what they see and, you know, make their best effort. But for you to completely shut that out is a big mistake. And I get it. It's painful to hear that sometimes. But you've got to have that dialogue for things to move forward in a healthy way.
So what can other nonprofits or event-based organizations learn from this particular situation about crisis readiness and even leadership succession planning?
Oh, all of those could be their own show, couldn't they? Britt?
Yeah.
I mean, those are all huge. But you can't put off having your crisis plan in place because the day-to-day tasks are in your way. It's got to be done. And you can't hire it out to somebody and forget about it. You have to be an active participant. And in this age, you've got to anticipate something could come at you unexpectedly. There are, you know, very common categories. You know, in our case with the American Red Cross here, it was, illegal deeds, fraud was being committed. That can happen to a lot of internal organizations, particularly nonprofits where money that is being entrusted to you for a certain purpose is being misused. Are you going to be overwhelmed by forces out in the community, whether economic, whether political, whether social? We don't know what winds will blow toward us. And look what's going on right now. Every organization is dealing with things that we thought might be off on the horizon. Friends, they're here. And you can't pretend to ignore them, particularly in this case where it appears with San Diego Pride, part of the issue they're facing is, you know, unfortunately being abandoned by some of their longtime sponsors because for their own reasons, they're pulling back and circling their own wagons, which is highly unfortunate. You do need to lead on the friends you still have out there, and you need to talk with those sponsors, especially your longtime sponsors sticking with you, and say, listen, you need to be honest with us. What do you see going on here that you don't like? What do you think we need to do to fix it? Start encouraging this reformation process as a community process, as a collaborative process. Don't hide. Don't try to hold off providing information to the public. Particularly if your internal house isn't in order, it's going to come out. And in every crisis, I tell my clients, you know, again, you're going to hope this doesn't come out. Plan on it coming out. And now think about how you're going to deal with it. Is the information true? Is it accurate? Is there a second part of the story? And how are you going to participate in that conversation? It is far better that you be an active participant, even when there's pushback, than being absent. And that absence breeds distrust in and of itself. And you can't have that.
I think that's a really solid point to end on. And I really appreciate you coming to the table with such timely advice, Gail. Thank you. Where can my listeners follow along with your brilliance?
Oh, my goodness. Well, I am on most social platforms where I interact. as PR Pro San Diego. PR Pro San Diego. And you see my name there on the screen. Trust me, there's only one of me with that name. And a quick online search will lead you to contact me. And I'm happy to hear from any, all of you who might want to carry this conversation further offline.
I'll be sure to add your email in the show notes just in case, so people don't have to hunt it down or, you know, try too hard to find it. So,
you know, with the last name Falkenthal, I'm easy to find. Trust me on that one.
Thanks again for listening to the Digital PR Explained podcast. If today's episode sparked any questions or thoughts, I'd love to hear from you. Whether it's about a topic that was covered or something you'd like me to explore in future episodes, let me know. Your input is super valuable. So don't hesitate to reach out. You can connect with me via email, social media, all of which can be found in the show notes on my website. And don't forget to subscribe on Apple Podcasts or Spotify so you can never miss an episode.